they're spiraling just like you.
Hi, welcome back to Spiraling. I'm Katie.
I am Serena, and we just nailed that intro.
We can't believe it. To be honest with you, we had a whole plan of, you know, having the whole season recorded and we'll just dose it out. But turns out we were ahead and now we're not, for reasons we will get into in this episode. But we are recording kind of in real time and releasing it like week by week. And we just got to our last official topical episode of the season today. We're going to do our spirals first, but then after this, we're going to still do some Q&A and holiday extravaganzas, but basically we're like coming to the end of the season. I can't believe it.
I cannot believe it. It has gone by so quickly, but I've really actually enjoyed, as it's been a little bit stressful just because when things come up, we don't really have any wiggle room with recording, but I've kind of liked recording in real time because I feel like also people who follow along on Instagram and things like that, like really know what's going on in our lives. And it's kind of cool to have that connection. But it's also just, I cannot believe, you guys, season three, we are at the end of season three. I know. It just feels wild to say.
It does.
This has been a good season.
It has been.
I feel like we've gotten pretty deep in some new terrain this season, and I've loved it.
Me too. It is funny to think about. As you're talking, I was like, oh my God, we started planning for this season. We had first planning call in like March, and then we're like, we'll record this summer, and then we'll have all the episodes done. Cool. And then we'll start releasing them in the fall, like end of August. Great. Great. Cool. And then, you know, we'll like have some time. And then here we are.
Here we are.
Basically end of October. November. Yeah. Yes. Like finishing up the season.
Recording in real time. It is, it's, you know, God, what is it? We make plans and God laughs. I don't know.
Exactly. Blessings.
Blessings.
Part of that we'll tell you about is like related to this episode, but I'll do my spiral first because I'm pretty sure it's a light one. It's one of our favorite. It's the kind that ties up in a bow.
Oh, you've been having a lot of these lately, and I'm proud of you.
I know. Thank you.
I feel like mine recently have just been big, messy shit shows, and we have been able to tie yours up in a bow. So it's important to balance.
Well, to be honest with you, and to be fair, I think I saved the tie up in a bow ones for the show. And in the pre-show, I give you the ones that are not tied up in a bow. And so that's probably part of what we're working with here.
I wonder it would be so absurd if decades from now we realize that we've accidentally been recording on our pre-shows.
Don't even say it. Don't even say it.
I mean, that is an anxiety dream for sure. The airing of the pre-shows, people. We love you so much, but we would probably be disowned by all friends and family if anybody ever heard the pre-shows.
Yeah, fully. I mean, I think I must have talked about this in last week's episode or 2 weeks ago's episode of fearing that I had sent a voice text to the wrong person. I must have talked about that here.
Yeah. That was your spiral, I think.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, I don't even remember exactly what it was about, but I've been getting some really nice messages from you all, and so has Serena, and I actually read one. I sent her a bunch of screenshots of the ones that I was getting so she can see them too, just so you all know. And I read one of my favorite ones out loud to her just now before we started recording. And it was like such a delight.
It was the best.
But so thank you all and keep them coming. I mean, not really, only if you want to, but we are codependent on your, a little bit.
Feels really good. It really does.
Anyway, I forgot to tell you this, Serena. I sent a screenshot to my friend Zoe because she now also has that spiral because I've been getting some messages from her being like, hey, can you just tell me that you got that message went to you and I didn't accidentally send the message I sent you about Andrew to Andrew, because that keeps coming up as our thing to each other. And I was like, can't listen right now, but yes, I've got them, you know, because they go away. Mm-hmm. And some very nice listener sent me a DM that was like a video of how to figure out in your phone if you sent it to the wrong person.
Oh my God.
Yeah, which is so nice.
Community coming through. I know. Thank you.
I know. Oh, now I remember my spiral. I fully forgot my spiral. I thought I sent that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a real moment in time. Okay. So but that's how quick they go, right? When they're like quick.
They really do. Yeah.
Okay. So this one is interesting. And I think I actually wrote about this in a post on Let It Out's Instagram this week, because basically I vaguely wrote about it, but I'll give you the full scoop here. So this was last week, and I had a really good week last week, to the point where, does this ever happen to you where you'll have a good week? And I don't mean like you're on vacation or it was like a holiday or something, but just like a solid week where you were like good. And then the next week, just because that one was like wildly, you know, solid, feels like a little bit bad just because it wasn't as good as the week before. Do you ever have that?
Interesting. I will think about that. I think so, but it is an interesting thing to think about.
Yeah. This has happened to me before.
It's not as good in comparison. Yeah.
Yeah. Where like, I just know I'm going to have a little low. I think this is, I don't know, related to anxiety and maybe depression too. Cause it's like, I will have these, like, I think I might do that. This might be a one of the things that's different about us, because I think I do like allow myself in a magical thinking sort of a way to be like, this is the best week ever. See, like this happened. And then this person texted me and oh my God, you know, and I let myself get so high. And it's not even that the week was like that much different than this week, but because one thing is going well, I snowball it into goodness, which like when inevitably like something goes wrong, I can do the exact same thing the other direction. You know what I mean?
Yes. So it's like spiraling up.
Spiraling up. Yes, 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 yes. Exactly. So I was really spiraling up last week to the point where like, of course there's going to be a crash. And it wasn't like a huge crash, but it was like, okay, this week is lower and it doesn't feel as good. And you know, it's like more, it's just like fine, you know, like nothing, it's no cactus hands. Like nothing is like horribly off. It's just like, you know, meh. And that contrast is, yeah, just like sort of interesting, but that's a little bit unrelated to the spiral. So ultimately this was happening last week when I was like having a good week. So the thing to note about that is I think when I am on a high like that, because I sometimes feel like I can be pretty like almost manic and then like really low. And that's where I was last week in this, you know, almost manic, like really high sort of state where I felt like things were just flowing and moving well for me. And because of that, I think this spiral went sort of quickly. But basically, I had an episode of my podcast come out with someone who I really liked, and I was getting a lot of positive feedback about it. And I don't think that's unrelated to how I was feeling that week. You know, like I think you can let outside influences and outside validation, you know, hit us. And we're, you know, it's like, try to not listen to the positive too much, try to not listen to the negative too much. You know, I literally read an email from a negative about my podcast on this podcast a couple episodes ago, you know? And so last week was the opposite. I was getting a lot of feedback on this episode and a lot of people were posting about it. And it was really unexpected. Like it was something that just like, I didn't really think much of. I was just kind of like, I don't know, another, like they had asked to do the podcast. Like it wasn't anything, you know, and it, which is funny because actually the week before I had had this person who I was like, thought was incredible and like, couldn't believe was doing the podcast and was just like, you know, and that one, like just kind of like went into the ether with like no stir, like no one cared, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was surprising, which is like more, even more dopamine, and B, I'm like, you know, getting this outside validation. And then the interesting thing that happened was the actual person who did the podcast, like hadn't posted about it yet and hadn't like said anything about it. And I put this post on my Instagram that felt really fangirly of them. Like it felt really, you know, it was all true and real. And I just explained like how I really admired this person and how they, the way that they live their life. And I kind of gave some color to the experience of going to their home and recording and how it was for me. And I, you know, it was not lost on me that I get to have access because of the show that I got to do this. And it was just like, really special and earnest in this post that was me basically not playing it cool. And this goes out into the world and they hadn't even liked it. And they hadn't and I was like, oh God. So then my spiral was, oh my God, they think you're a stalker. Like they think you are a like disgusting, like horrible stalker who like cannot keep their cool. And it's like, dude, it's like my house. I made you an espresso. It's like not that big of a deal. Like, please stop like being weird, you know? Like that's kind of like where my head went. And I have this friend and she will often say to me like before, like when I was interviewing that, the person I was mentioning that I was really nervous and excited to interview. And this is, you know, even like before dates or whatever, like she'll be like, just be cool, be cool. And I'll say that to myself, you know, like be cool, be cool. And let me tell you something, Serena, that will not shock you. I never can do it. No matter how hard I try, like interviewing, I was interviewing, it was Buck Meek from Big Thief. And I love that band and like I love his solo album. And during the interview, I was like, just be cool. He's just a person. He's just a person. And like 10 minutes in, I was like, I love that. But you know, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Like I can't, it's just not, I'm stuck in here. And whenever I try to keep it cool, like I'm not cool. I'm warm. I'm like, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a million compliments. I'm going to tell you how much I love you. I'm going to tell you how great this is a million times. And like, some people are going to get annoyed by that. And some people are going to just like, I remember my friend Zoe, when I met her, she said this to me like a year later, but she was like, yeah, I did not like you at all. I thought you had to be disingenuous because you gave me so many compliments first meeting me. And I'm pretty sure you told me you loved me the first week and I like didn't trust you. And she's like, and now I love you. And you're like my best friend. But like, it took a long time to, it's not for everybody. And for some people, it's like too much at first, you know? And
yeah. So I respect how honest she is being
Zoe.
With you.
Yeah, I know. Right. And I was like, cool. That's like good feedback. Tone it down. And so I do, I try to tone it down. I try to play it cool, but like at a certain level I can't, you know? And so anyway, I eventually was just like, all right, well, maybe that was weird that I posted that thing. And maybe I did like overdo it, but I was also like, whatever, that was a good episode and it felt true for me. And it is what it is. And I'm going to just like move on. Right.
Yeah, and then, also that's who you are. So it's not like you should be toning yourself down for anybody.
And at a certain point, it's like, I just can't. But anyway, the spiral ties up in a bow because I like, you know, an hour later, checked my phone and she had like liked it, commented on it, shared it. And like all it was just like a timing issue and like sent me a really nice note. Like, I love you. Can't wait to do part two. You know, like it was all just fully in my head. Which is our favorite type of spiral and makes
best you, type of spiral.
Yeah. Which is like, oh, it was in my head. And then there are many spirals that like, you know, kind of aren't and, you know, don't get tied up in a bow, but this was one of them that did. And I'm happy about it.
I love that. And also it's that's going to be a good, I want to come back to this when we really get into the meat of today's episode, because today's episode, we are going to talk about guilt, shame, and embarrassment, which are my personal largest anxiety triggers.
Yep.
Some of them are funny, like the hug handshake thing, but I truly could list all of them. And others are just bigger and uglier, the guilt and shame piece of this. But I do think that's sort of, we can come back to this, but I think it has to do with sort of embarrassment over, did I overdo it and be this crazy stalker fangirl? Mm-hmm. And that embarrassment causes us to, is an anxiety trigger. And it just like, we fixate and then we're like, oh, maybe I should have toned it down, even though you shouldn't have, because that's just who you are. You were being genuine and therefore actually being authentic. We've talked about this in the past. It's like when you behave in a way that is aligned with who you truly are, that in theory diminishes our anxiety. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think it ended up working out, but even if it hadn't, I think you could have probably tied that in a bow yourself by just being like, look, like this is who I am. And that was a very authentic description of how I was feeling. And if they were not into it, then oh, well, because, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
You being you.
Totally. And that's kind of what I did. Like before it tied up, I did get myself there where I was like, all right, fuck it. I'm not taking it down. I'm not like, this is what happened. And like, bummer, but whatever, like onward, you know, because that's the thing, like acting in integrity or acting connected to ourselves. The reason, and we'll get into this more today, but the reason I always say this, like I try to be in integrity, not in an altruistic way, but because it helps with my anxiety, you know, like I will spiral less if I know that I like was honest. I, you know, this is why I don't talk about people, because I get so anxious that, you know what I mean? That like,
yes,
it's just not worth it. Juice isn't worth the squeeze. That's why I try to be, you know, and I'm not obviously perfect, but I try to do that because it's just easier for my mental health, you know?
I agree 100%. I feel exactly the same.
Yeah.
I feel like as I've gotten older too. Yeah. I'm like, I do not want to participate in gossip lest anybody, you know, find out that I have been doing this and that's not who I want to be. And I, the anxiety of somebody maybe overhearing or getting back to somebody, not worth it. No, thank you.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we're kind of jumping ahead. We'll get into this more, but I think that is a huge upside of anxiety is this like a little bit of a moral code that we have of, you know, just by virtue of, you know, like there are things that you should be anxious about. You know what I mean? Yes. Like if you hurt someone, you should maybe feel that, let it go eventually, but like, which is a whole other conversation. But, you know, I think that there's truth to that. And, you know, the last thing I'll say about this spiral is that, you know, the more I thought about it, the more I was like, when I am trying to play it cool, right? Or like when someone, because I was thinking about the reverse, when someone is like over the top with their, like their love for me, that can be off-putting. Like that can, I have been in the situation where I'm like, actually it's cooler when people aren't into me. And when I'm like feeling, you know, like, especially in like a romantic context or even like, you know, there's something to that of like, I posted this quote from a film that was like, when people love me too much, I'm not into it or something like that. And that's actually like fucked up. You know what I mean? Like that's our own like neuroses of like not wanting intimacy or like not wanting to like, it's us not accepting ourselves that we want people to play it cool to us. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. It's all very confusing, but yeah. Actually pretty simple at its core, right?
Like, yeah.
We want to be our true selves and we want people to be their true selves with us, but we don't always allow that either. Like that's the confusing part about humanity.
Yeah.
We like, you are somebody who is so effusive and loving and earnest. And it must feel weird when other people are the same way towards you. And you're like, ooh, I don't really like that. Although that is who you are. And so I don't know. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Those are some mental gymnastics that I need to do to understand that. Cause I feel like I have similar things with me, like things that are very characteristic of my personality. Sometimes when I see them in others, I'm like, oh, I don't like that.
Yeah.
And yeah. Maybe it's things that like, it is who we are, but maybe we secretly don't like that about ourselves, but we can't change it because it's who we are.
Totally. I mean, my mom is like the greatest example of this. Like my mom is me like on crack with like the compliments and the whatever, whatever. And I'm like, oh my God, can you like tone it down with the like person that is checking us out, you know? And I'm like, then I'm like, oh wow, that's me like at the restaurant.
This is like really kind of blowing my mind right now. And I need to do my spiral. So I'm
gonna
to fixate on it. But wow, that's a lot to... I'm going to be thinking about this now tonight and unpacking why I dislike when certain people behave in ways that I behave. Anywho, yeah,
this is, we'll put this in the Q&A episode. We could put a pin in it, but we'll come back to this and feel free to tell us more. Yeah. But let's do your spiral.
Take this to my therapist. Okay. So my spiral, first, I feel like I need to update on my last week's spirals. For anybody
who's
worried. Anyway, update. I got my physical, I got a lot of blood work done and stuff, and like everything's pretty much normal. So I'm just like feeling off. And I think that's okay. And I do want to mention that when I went to my physical, I was like, I'm really exhausted. I have headaches. I feel nauseous a lot, like all these things. She's like, great, we'll do I'm going to run all of these tests. We obviously want to cover all of our bases. But she was like, just so you know, this, most of my patients are coming in for their physicals and describing the same symptoms. Like, I think a lot of us are just feeling this way. And the past, how long have we been in a pandemic now? Like, I don't know. Almost a year and a half, 1 million years. I think we're just dealing with that trauma overhang and anxiety overhang and ennui in general. So anyway, anybody else feeling this same way with zero literal reasons for it physically? That's okay. You're not alone. Whatever. We will soldier on and take good care of ourselves. And my health is like better. I'm still in it in anxiety land. And like now, like all this personal shit is hitting the fan, just sucks. And again, like, I don't like to talk about like friends and family on here, cause in case they're listening and like, everything's fine, but just, you know, sometimes we have to deal with life things, and that is a lot because we still have to show up and and do work and be a daughter, wife, friend, and take care of our responsibilities and stuff. And Katie and I talk about this a lot. It's like the world doesn't stop when like bad things happen to you. So it's not a great time, but I am okay.
Yeah, it's a pile on. It's like the new thing happens and the other thing isn't resolved yet. And another thing happens on top of it.
Yes. And you're like, I was still figuring out the last 10 things. Can we hold off on this new thing?
Yeah, totally.
But anywho, this spiral is something like, it's just something I've felt acutely this week, but it's actually something I feel often. And it is definitely one of the spirals that can sometimes be very small and can also sometimes be very large and or feel larger when you are already feeling anxious or overwhelmed. So I have a really hard time saying no to people. Saying no is an anxiety trigger for me. It is something I've been working on for a long time. I used to say yes to everything when I was younger. Katie, we know, used to say yes to everything on like a social front. Mm-hmm. I used to say yes to everything on a professional front, just because I felt like I had to. And it's kind of interesting to be at in a place in my career where I have the luxury of saying no, and I actually have to say no in order to keep up with my day to day and get things done, but it still feels really bad. So my assistant handles a lot of the emails that come to like my general email address. That's like people reaching out about brand partnerships or private classes or interviews and things like that. But she still has to forward them to me often. Like if she knows I'm not going to be interested, she'll just politely decline. But if she doesn't know, then she has to forward it to me. And then I often have the luxury of being like, no, thank you. You know, and she takes care of that. But then there are sometimes people who contact me directly or who continue to follow up after you've said no multiple times. And this legitimately keeps me up at night. And I think it comes down to what we, the subject of today's episode, which is guilt. Because with certain, you know, say it's a brand and they want to work together on a partnership, I hate when I know somebody who has a connection to the brand. Like maybe they're reaching out and they're like, so-and-so gave me your contact, who's a friend of mine, you know, and they didn't ask and they connected us. And this happens all the time in life. And then you're like, oh, I don't want to turn this down because then they're going to tell this person, even if it's not a, you know, close friend, maybe it's an acquaintance or whatever, and you don't want to disappoint them. There's layers to it, right?
Yeah.
That feels bad. But what feels extra bad to me is that I often get, as I get older, I get more requests for things like, can you donate a private cooking class to XYZ charity? Like I would say like every day. And also I get really nice emails from people asking if like they can pick my brain or like if I will mentor them or something like that. Do you get people reaching out who are like, I just want to chat and like,
oh yeah.
And I think we all do. I think that, and I talk about this a lot with Logan and with my friends, and I'm so don't know if we've talked about this on the pod before. Everybody has different approaches. Cause I think at this stage in like your, you know, mid late 30s, you get a lot of outreach from people in their early 20s who see what you're doing and are, and it's really, it's very flattering that they want to pursue a similar track. And lots of my friends have like forum emails that they send, or they take on, you know, one informational call every month or every other week or whatever they can fit into their schedule. But I always feel really bad saying no, especially the charity stuff. Like I'm like, oh, you're raising money for cancer. Like, no, I can't donate a private class. I've already donated 10 in like the past weeks. And like when everybody comes to collect, like I'm not going to be able to sleep. You know, it's stuff like that. But the guilt makes me feel so anxious, and the sending of the email or responding to the text or whatever, being like, I'm so sorry. I don't have the bandwidth for this, or I can't do this right now, really makes me anxious. So then to make matters worse for myself, I will often procrastinate the fucking email or the text for like a week or something like that. And then it's just adding to the silly little tasks in the back of my mind that are always needling. And I'm like, why can't you just say no? People say no to me all the time and I don't care. So why do I think other people are going to like hate me if I say no to them? And again, this is one of those tiny spirals where like some days I get a bunch of emails and I'm just like, oh, I have to send like 20 no's today. And it's not that big a deal. It's just unpleasant for the, you know, the 15 minutes that I'm like, no, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't have the bandwidth. No, thank you. Whatever it is. But when you're already anxious and or when I have procrastinated a ton of them, then I just feel full-blown nuts. I'm like, yeah. Oh God. And then I just won't respond to some of them because I'm like, oh, too much time has passed. So now I just have to let that one die a slow death.
Yeah.
And then I feel guilty about it because it's out of integrity. I'm like, right. You could have just sent a quick note and saved everyone the hassle and been like, I'm so sorry. No, thank you. And you didn't. And now it's too late. And you feel oddly guilty and then anxious about it. And then sometimes I'm like, oh, am I going to run into this person socially or whatever? And then that will be weird. So again, this is like, I feel like this is a spiral though, that a lot of people have, maybe not about saying no, but about just dealing with demand. It's kind of a spoon scenario. Like when mm-hmm. there are a lot of demands on your time, sort of setting boundaries and, you know, protecting your energy is difficult. And I think especially if you are somebody who has anxiety that is triggered by guilt, it takes some work to realize that you shouldn't feel guilty about protecting your energy. Mm-hmm. Like that is not something to feel guilt about. And I know that literally, but I am not, I still experience the guilt, even though I know that it is misplaced.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I relate to that spiral in a different way. I mean, I of course get those like pick my brain sessions too. And I used to get it a lot of like, how do podcast I start? Stuff. Yeah. And that's like why I made the course. And so I can kind of like direct people to that now. But, you know, I mean, I still get it and all. You know what? One good thing about like no one like really knowing what I do and like not really like having success in like one thing is like I haven't really gotten those lately because I think I used to get them a lot of like, how do I write a book? And then I'd be like, dude, I literally don't even know. It was like a fluke that I got mine, you know, it was like a real answer. And I had like nowhere about to get another one. And so like, I think for you, it's like very clear. It's like you have made your mark in this. You write cookbooks and you are a chef and you are an influencer and you are like, you've done a lot of like very clear things. So I'm sure you get a lot of those. I'm not getting like as many of those sorts of emails, but I can imagine that being very taxing. What I do get that I can relate to this on is a lot of people all the time asking to be a guest on Let It Out. And that one,
oh my God, is get that all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's tough. And it's like, it's such an honor. And yet it is tough because, you know, like our friends, our mutual friends, I can think of a couple of them, like when they have a new book out or when they like whatever, I'm going to drop everything and I'm going to have them on, even though they've been on before and even though whatever, like that's fine. But I can't do that for everyone. And that is tough. And it's also like, you know, and it is such a casual show where I do have a lot of friends on and it, and I don't discriminate between like having on people who have a big audience or who people who don't have any audience at all. And it's not like any discipline. It's not like, it's like such a wide range of people, which I love, but it makes this particular issue like really tough. And I usually, to be honest, like I'll just like succumb to it really. And I'll just be like, sure. You know, and I'm trying to be better at that when it's someone I don't know, because I get just a ton of publicists being like, this person's new book, and I have a canned email and I can just send that out and it's no problem. That I feel nothing about, but that's kind of my version of this. And, you know, it is tough. And sometimes the guilt is so much that I'm just like, whatever, I'll just like do it, you know? And that's not great either. And is also out of integrity. It's just like, I'm abandoning myself instead of the other person, you know, like I'm disappointing myself. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just like easier to do that. But I feel, and you kind of alluded to this earlier, I think we are very similar, like how you are with work and professional things is how I am with friendship and social things. And I have this like really intensely too, where it's like getting so many texts or getting so many voice texts and not like they'll be burning a hole in my pocket of like, mm-hmm. I can't even like work and handle my day and my texts or my emails and my responsibilities and calls, because I know my friend just sent me like 7 minutes and I need to make sure they're okay. And I need to, you know, like, and the guilt of like needing to get back to that, or like, did I say something that was harmful? Did I accidentally say something that was gendered or was, you know, like the wrong thing to say, or was not empathetic, or was, you know, there's so many things going through my head. That's like, again, trying to be in integrity and trying to be, you know, to avoid guilt and shame, but we mess up, you know what I mean? Like we will get behind and not have the spoons to be our best selves, or we might say something in a moment of weakness, or we might, you know, there's so many different things. And anyway, about your spiral though, I do think, as you know, and this is like also bitten me in the ass, but I've gotten so behind in emails before that I have gone back and like, I have responded to people who emailed me like 3 years prior and been like, I'm just seeing this. I'm so sorry, but like, that was a really cool story you sent me. I literally did this like somewhat recently. Someone sent me a short story they wrote like in 2019. And I like somehow found it in my inbox, read it, and like sent them an email back being like, I'm so sorry.
Wait, that's amazing. Yeah. Katie. I do that with DMs. That like, mm-hmm. I'll be like, I'm so sorry for the absurdly delayed response.
Yeah.
But here's the answer. But now I'm having anxiety about like people listening to this and being like, okay, you're not that important. There aren't that many people reaching out to you. I don't mean it like that.
No, I know.
But now I'm like, oh God. But that, and I think part of it too, especially with the picking of the brain thing, I think part of that is also I get a little bit of anxiety surrounding almost in an imposter syndrome-y way. I'm like, oh God, I don't have the time to do this, but also I feel anxious about the fact that like, what am I going to be able to tell you that's actually helpful? Cause my career is so weird. And like, I don't, you know, like it, that, it, then it also spirals into like, what am I going to talk to this person?
Totally.
Type of thing. So yeah. But yeah. I think I know. And that's the thing is like, typically when I'm in a great headspace, I'm just like, all right, hold on to your spoons, be efficient, kind, no thank yous across the board. Nobody hates you for this. Like move on with your day. But I think it's easy when you have big spirals to like hold on to the little ones because they feel more manageable. instead of like panicking about these huge things that are happening in my life right now, I'm going to instead focus on like feeling weird about saying no to a couple people today.
Oh yeah. That is such a self-protection thing. I get like that too, actually. That was a really good point I want to pick up on that you made about like when someone reaches out to me, this is how twisted I get, where I almost feel resentful in the sense of like someone being like, how did you start your podcast, or how did you get this person to do the podcast? Yes. Or how did you get your book deal and blah, 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 and like whatever it is. And I can't believe I'm saying this. I'll probably spiral about it later, but I'll get almost resentful to them of like, man, I didn't ask anyone. And to be honest with you, I don't even know. It was a fluke. Mm-hmm. I don't know how this person said yes to the podcast. I literally had to like stalk their manager, or I knew someone, or I like got invited to this weird music festival and it will never happen again. And I'm kind of bummed myself, and like, you know, or like whatever it is with the book deal. Like, I don't know. I won a contest. Like, and then I often just, even when someone like, I had this experience recently where someone who I, you know somewhat well is sent me a message, and they were like, it looks like you're just doing so great. You're doing amazing. Like, blah, blah, blah. And it was like so complimentary and kind. And my reaction almost was to diminish it and be like, yeah, my life's like really fucked up. And let me like tell you all the things that are like not going well, because it almost seemed in this way that, you know, they were seeing this like picture of things that wasn't true. And it felt like I needed to diminish it to be more honest. Does that make any sense?
Yes. Yes. I think that's I hear you, and I'm like also hesitant to say it because I feel like we'll spiral about it later. But like, I do feel resentful when somebody asks me how I did something in the hopes of copying it and not having to do the legwork themselves. That does bother me. Even sometimes it's really silly stuff. Like, it'll be something about like filming like reels in Instagram or something. And it's like, well, I watched YouTube tutorials on XYZ, and like, you can do that too, you know? But I never say that. Instead, I type out a long detailed answer on how they can do it, you know? And that's just because I know that ultimately in the end, it would give me more anxiety to be like, you can watch YouTube videos than to just take the fucking time to type out a very detailed response. I experienced that a lot with the virtual cooking classes, and AirSubs used to let people audit my classes, which I had no problem with. But then I would get follow-up emails being like, can you describe your camera setup and like how you write your descriptions and what camera you use to take the photos and how do you respond to? And I was just like, you know, that's like, you've asked me enough questions. Like, it's going to take me a half an hour to answer all of these things. And then they don't even send a thank you after I respond, you know, and that kind of stuff really does needle me.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just easier to just answer so I don't have to feel anxiety about it.
Yeah, it does bum me out,
though.
But again,
not a sustainable practice.
Yeah.
Like, it's not scalable. You know, if you get like a ton of those, like there's just no way to answer everyone. But yes, I totally hear you on the resentment and frustration there.
Yeah, because I think it just bums me out of like, wow, I would love to help you. And I also wish it was easier. And I wish that I knew more, you know, and I wish that I had myself. And I wish that I could like, and I think ultimately, like, this is totally unrelated to what we're talking about, but I think on some level, it's like, nothing can be recreated. Like, I'll look at, you know, there's a lot of people, podcasts especially, is an example of this, but I think it's true with probably a lot of careers. I'm sure it's true in design, and I'm sure it's true in writing and cooking and so many things that like, we just don't know what's going to hit, you know, like there are some things that are just luck and timing. And we've talked about this before here too, I think. And it's just, that is tough. You know, it is tough to be like, to look at other podcasts or look at other people in whatever it is in your case, doing what you're doing and wanting to recreate it. And I think I learned that early on of like my mentors at the time when I was like first out of college, and I was like, I want to be like this person. It's like, well, there'll never be another that person because that was a moment in time and you're different and the timing is different. And, you know, it just, it doesn't exist. And that's why those questions are tough, because it's like, okay, I want to do what you do. And it's like, do you though? Cause like, I'm not even sure that it can even be done in the same way. You know, it's like so many things are uncontrollable, you know? And like, we think we can just get this like answer, quick pill or, you know, magic bullet. And I wish I could give that and ever there could be, you know, it was a meritocracy and everybody had the same resources and access, and it's not. And that sucks, you know?
It does. I completely agree. But also, I feel like when you end up talking to people in depth about what we do, which is very different, but like still is sort of a creative entrepreneur type situation, when you actually get into it with people, they're like, wow, this sounds terrible. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Like, because you've sort of broken the third wall and, you know, killed the dreams that it's just all fun and games and eating snacks all day.
I've been having like some conversations with my friends recently where they're like really complimentary and they're like, really, like, wow, I can't believe you do so much and you get so much done. You really inspire me. And I'm like, I have to show up, and I'm not going to just like not record Spiraling with Serena because I'm tired, or I'm going to like,
yes.
I'm just going to like, I'm just putting one foot in front of the other. And like, it's like, I don't even know how to explain it. It's just, you just kind of do it, and it's not all great. And it's also not all terrible. It's just this like in between, keep going. And some days are a lot harder than others. Some days are really easy and great. And it's a real mixed bag.
It is. I couldn't agree more.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Serena and I were thinking about who would be the perfect sponsor for this podcast, and BetterHelp is it. We are so lucky that we are working with a service that is so aligned with everything we talk about on the show. And we literally say at the end of every episode that we love therapy, and it's true. We really, really do. And this is a service that brings therapy to people securely and easily. And I'm so happy that this season is presented by BetterHelp.
Is there something that's bothering you that you think might be holding you back, or that you just really want to talk out? I know that that is how I utilize therapy, especially when I don't feel like I want to unload to friends or family members. There's a time and a place for that. But talking to somebody who is a professional has been such a game changer for me. And I know Katie feels the same way.
Yes, therapy is a place to share your spirals, and BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist who you can start communicating with in under 48 hours.
It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online. And there's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas.
The service is available for clients worldwide, and you can log into your account anytime and send a message to your therapist.
And you will get a timely and thoughtful response. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. I think that that is such a huge game changer about BetterHelp, because when you have to go to and from therapy, you end up spending so much more time in therapy. It becomes like a 2-hour endeavor versus a 50-minute session where you can like get in, get out, and go about your day, which I think is incredible.
Totally. I love remote therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change therapists as needed, which I think is so, so important, because it takes a minute to find the perfect fit or the ideal fit for you. And it's also more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is available.
I love that so much. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. They're truly incredible and really inspiring to read.
Visit betterhelp.com/spiraling. That's better H-E-L-P, and join over 2 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional.
In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. And we have a special offer for Spiraling listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/spiraling. That's 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/spiraling.
Thanks, BetterHelp. We love you.
We love you. I think it's interesting to bring this, sort of pivot this slightly. We did record this episode, mm-hmm. which we are now having a completely different, this has gone in a completely different direction yeah. than that original episode. But tying in sort of the friend element and making time for different things and still showing up to get the things done that we have to get done. When we originally recorded this episode, Katie told... It was a great episode, honestly.
Yeah, it was a really good episode.
I'm now feeling a little bit devastated.
I know.
But it was
I'm feeling guilty.
Oh my God, no. But Katie, but that's why I wanted to bring this back up, because mm-hmm. you felt yeah. so guilty about this. So yeah. Katie told a spiral on the show that was very personal, and you can talk more about this, mm-hmm. but it ended up being too personal for us to actually air the episode, mm-hmm. lest the people being discussed listen to it and be even more upset. Mm-hmm. So then Katie had to call me, which I know deep down she knew that I would not care at all, but still I would have felt the same guilt and anxiety about it. She had to call me and be like, we can't air that episode. We need to re-record it. And I'm so sorry. And in true Katie fashion, which is the best, she left like 17 voice texts explaining uh-huh. why we had to re-record the episode. And
yep. played like, it cool.
And being like, if you hate me, I totally understand. Like, this is so terrible of me. Which obviously I did not remotely hate her, and I completely understood, because under the circumstances, I would have felt the same way. But it is really interesting how because I'm not doing a good job of this, can you like talk
explain
about
yeah.
in abstract the spiral that we discussed
yeah,
on
yeah.
the original episode?
And first of all, just like a meta spiral, that was the funniest part about it, was like, this thing had just happened. I had another, much like we're talking about today, I had another really small spiral happening at the same time. And the day that Serena and I record, what basically should have happened is I used spiraling this show that you are here for as my friend time with Serena, rather than doing that in the pre-show. And that's where things went wrong. I shared with her this like tiny spiral while we were like chatting before, and that should have been my show spiral. But since I didn't tell this other long story, I decided to use our time to like tell her this. And the reason why I think I did it was because it was so related to shame, guilt, and embarrassment, because I was feeling all those three things at once. And it required a apology message to someone. And essentially like what happened, and I told this in vivid detail, I didn't use names, but it was like very clear who I was talking about, if people could figure it out really clearly. But basically what happened was like, I was confronted by a friend of a friend, and I had done something that was not great that was brought to my attention. And I, you know, it was related to another friend, and it was really complex, and it's a really long story, and it had happened months prior to that. And I didn't even know about it, but then, you know, this person communicated really directly with me, which is cool. And I apologized, and it just became this like huge, huge thing. And learning to navigate, like it hit all of my anxiety notes, you know, like it really, and it's still needling me. Like this is a perfect example of one of those things that like was not tied in a bow. And it's a really complex one, because I didn't necessarily act in a way that was so far out of integrity that I would have really been like upset with myself. It was something that was way more nuanced for this conversation, which is, it's hard because I'm being so vague, but it, in the episode when I explained it, Serena was like really on my side. And I think that, which I'm so grateful for, and you know, it was cool and felt nice, but that was the part that I was like, I don't want to air this, because I don't think it would sound good to like have, you know, a cheerleader. And Serena hadn't heard the story before, but it just, you know, you're only hearing one side of something, and it just yes. didn't feel correct to have it on this podcast.
For the record, Katie was correct, and the other person was bananas crazy.
But it really, yeah, it was really like in my brain of like, oh God, like this, I was really in the weeds with it, and it was really present. And yeah. so you know, but it made for a really good conversation because I was like, all right, cool. Someone communicated directly with me. I have the opportunity to reflect and learn and grow and do something differently in the future. And I didn't love that. I didn't love having to feel shame and embarrassment and have these conversations. And this is a great example of like, you know, I was already in kind of a bummer place. And then this was my pile on that week. And I really had to like sit with this and got really behind in my other things. And it, you know, it really took it out of me. And I'm still, you know, this was maybe a month ago now, and I'm still sitting with it and it's still not my favorite, but, and I even mentioned something, you know, related in our pre-show to Serena where I'm like, yeah, it's still coming up. You know, it's still very present for me, but time helps this go away. You know, I think time is the thing that like helps with the shame and guilt and embarrassment and reflecting and like finding the truth, like really distilling down and being like, okay, where was I out of integrity? What could I have done differently? Where is the truth here of like, what is in my brain that I'm just beating myself up with? And where is the truth of like where I can grow and getting into that space? And then just like not sitting in your shit. And something that I'm actually glad that we're redoing this episode that I want to talk about that I couldn't have talked about then because I hadn't learned this lesson yet is that when this happened, it was so wild and it was so like ticked all of my anxiety boxes for me that I kept talking about it with people and thus like me talking about it with you that day. And it was funny. We actually had to like keep the episode tight because I had therapy right after we recorded. And so I told Serena this, that it was pretty interesting because I think that morning I had told someone about it at coffee. Then I came and did spiraling with Serena, talked about it at length here. Then I talked about it in therapy. And then I think I like told someone that night and I was like, Jesus Christ, like all I've done. And it's kind of a long story to tell. So it just like took so much out of me to tell it again and again. And I was sitting in my own shit and it didn't help. Every time I told it, even to my therapist, like it wasn't useful. It wasn't like after I told it, I was like, that is cathartic and I feel better. It was just like sitting in it. And even in therapy, it was really a tough situation because I got all this advice from my therapist that I knew I wasn't going to take. It was advice to like, not basically not, I sent this really intense apology email that my friend Zoe helped me write. And her mom is a mindfulness therapist and had recently, I read it on the podcast, this really wonderful apology message that Zoe's mom had sent her about, you know, just a, like a great parenting moment where she was like, you know, took responsibility and apologized for, you know, a minor mistake. And it was such a beautiful message of apology that I'm like saving on my phone. And I, you know, I modeled my message after this and I read it to my therapist. I also read it on the show. And my therapist was like, don't send that. Like, that's everything we've been working on of you like not being a doormat. And you like, you don't need to like bow down and like masochistically like take responsibility for this thing that was like not fully in your control and not whatever, whatever. And I was just like, yeah, okay, thanks. But like, I knew I was going to send it because it was the path of least resistance for me to just send it, you know, to like, I knew I would feel better doing that than not doing that. And it's very similar to Serena being like, it's just easier to like do it sometimes or have the person on the podcast when I don't want to, you know? And it's like, sometimes it is easier to do that, but that itself is out of integrity and doing something out of guilt is never good. You know, like then it just harbors a resentment in yourself and that will manifest, you know, in your body or in your like spoon level of like not being able, you know, we have to resource ourselves. And I bring this up because it's complicated, but I think the thing that helped the most wasn't sending that text. It wasn't talking about it to friends, because I think sometimes in guilt and shame and embarrassment, talking about it does help a little bit just to get you out of your own mind to see like, okay, I'm not a monster. Like I'm seeing a different perspective here, you know, like I think that is good. At a certain point though, you have to just stop. And really the only thing, unfortunately, that's going to help is time. And my friend Crystal said this to me about this situation. She was like, look, when something like this happens to me, I just know I'm going to feel a little bit bad for like 2 to 3 weeks. That's like my processing. And then, you know, it'll start to lessen and lessen and lessen. She's like, that's probably going to happen for you. And she was right. And like, I don't, when I think about it now, it's not my favorite, but I don't feel like I want to cry and crawl under the table like I did 3 weeks ago, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many awesome things you said in there and things that I think are really important to stress. The first being, I do think, you know, I love to find silver linings to anxiety. And one good thing about anxiety, we've talked a lot about how I think that it makes us more empathetic human beings. But I also think that it makes us, as you mentioned, hold ourselves sometimes to a very rigid moral code. And that can be a really awesome thing. And I think there's some people who, when they do something that is out of integrity or hurts somebody, they are able to just sort of be like, well, I shouldn't have done that, but like, oh well, and just move on. I think that we struggle to do that. And I don't think that's characteristic of everyone with anxiety, but that is something that I think that you and I relate on, is like when we do something that requires or would be made better by possibly an apology, we are going to apologize. We're not people who are just going to fucking shake it off and go about our days. I think that's a wonderful thing. I think it is a really mature thing too, to take responsibility when you have done something that is not great and to apologize for it. But it has to stop with the apology. And I think that's where, at least where I struggle. And I think that you struggle as well, like with just being like, okay, I apologize. And now I'm going to let this go, because we don't often let it go. We want people to respond to that. We want to be forgiven. And sometimes people don't forgive and we have no control over that. And I think that something I have discussed in therapy over the years, I love to self-flagellate, like really thrive on beating myself up. And I am aware of this and have been working on it. And my therapist will often say when I'm, you know, he notices that I am doing this thing and beating myself up about something, he's like, all right, we're done with the torture now. You have tortured yourself enough. And that is done now. And it's kind of this same like cognitive behavioral thing of when a negative thought or like it's something that you feel anxious about pops up, just acknowledge it and you're like, okay, next. And you're going to move on to whatever it is that you need to be doing in that moment versus fixating on the thing that you feel guilt or shame or embarrassment about and continuing to beat yourself up over it. At a certain point, got to just let it go. Mm-hmm. You know, you can take a step to feel better, which maybe is an apology if it's warranted. I'm certainly not giving advice for us to just like go out and apologize. I think we have discussed in the past too, that like both of us have at certain points been apologists, and that is also not healthy. But if something warrants an apology, issue the apology. If somebody accepts it, wonderful. We get to move on. If somebody does not accept it, not ideal, but we still get to move on. So I think
we have to move on.
We have to move on. And I think that time really does heal all wounds. Like whenever I do something that I feel I shouldn't have done and I apologize or whatever, you're right. Like it just stings less when you think about it with each passing day. So, you know, I can still think about things that happened a decade ago. And it like, there is like a little sting when you're like, oh God, that thing. And it rarely, you know, comes up. It's like maybe somebody reminds you of it or whatever. And you're like, oh God, like I did something in college that was very bad. And I still think about it sometimes. And, you know, maybe once a year, but for a while it was like every 6 months, every month. But like in the beginning, it was all day, every day.
Yeah.
And I didn't like kill somebody.
It's like, you remember that part of Gossip Girl where Blake Lively is like, and then at the end of the season one, she's like, well, what did you do? What did you do? And she just looks at Blair and she's like, I killed someone.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, that is like absurd. No, it was like a thing I shouldn't have done with a guy, and it like haunted me. But anyway, now I think about that and I'm just like, oh, like that was stupid, you know, like, but whatever. And I really do think that sometimes we just have to give ourselves time, even though that really sucks.
Yeah.
In the moment.
Yeah. And forgive ourselves, you know, like, I think I can have compassion. It's self-compassion,
for everybody,
right? It's
like, else. Yeah.
Right. Have compassion for everybody else, but it's hardest with ourselves for sure. But even beyond that, it's like, you know, these things that we've done that we shouldn't have done or said that we shouldn't have said, sometimes I can like get down to it and I can be like, I can really look at myself and be like, I know why you did that. Like you were scared and you said that and you were like, and you can really go into it. And you're like, wow, you're just like, we all have our trauma. We all have our like tough things. And it's like, and even like not necessarily like bad things, but like, I'll give the example of like picking my face, right? It's like, I'm annoyed with myself that I'm going to have a scar for a year from picking several zits or whatever it is. It's like, but I can be like, all right, you were really bummed that night and you like were anxious and you needed some control or whatever it is. Like you can kind of back into it and therapize yourself and like have compassion of like, that's why you did that. And that can kind of make it better. And, you know, that's what a therapist can do, or that's what a friend can do. And we have to start, you know, doing it for ourselves as quickly as we can, because it's like, we're not all perfect. We're human and we have trauma and we have stress and we do things that on a good day we maybe wouldn't have done or would have acted differently. And I think in this spiral that we're talking about or not talking about, and like I'm being so vague about, I think one thing that made it almost easier than a lot of other spirals that I've had is that the situation was so complicated that I didn't know I was doing something that was, you know, I didn't know what was happening. It wasn't in my knowledge. I didn't. And I also was, it was a tricky situation that I couldn't make everybody happy in. And I like probably would have had to do the same thing again, you know, like it wasn't safe for me to really choose a different option. And so I think knowing that of like, I did the best I could in the situation I was in was the, you know, helped me to be like, okay, that sucks. But like you did what you had to do in that situation. And it was like a rock in a hard place kind of thing. And my friend Crystal gave me advice in that. And I think in other things that have been challenging when like something, you know, I think this happened. This is a really good example for today's podcast. It happened a couple of months ago though, but I think she gave me this mantra then, and it sounds like very similar to what your therapist told you, which is, it's kind of like a nursery rhyme, but she said it just kind of like came to her this day. And she was like, the problem is here and now and goes with me no further. Because to my point of what I was saying earlier of like spiraling up, I'm also very good at spiraling down. And when one thing goes bad, then suddenly I'm looking for all the other bad things, and then I'm creating bad things, and then I'm self-harming. And then, you know what I mean? It's like at different levels, it's just like horrible. And so I think if you can say to yourself, okay, the problem is here and now and goes with me no further, like that is what I'm trying to do. And she gave this to me on a morning. I usually work at the shop that I work at in the afternoons through the evening, but for some reason I was working in the morning. This was this summer. And I was like rushing there, and I'm not used to like having to be somewhere in the mornings. And I was driving and I like pulled into the street from my apartment and I hit a car. Like I like tapped this car and I was like, oh my God, I felt horrible. And I like got out of the car. And I looked at my car and I looked at their car and I didn't see anything. And I was like, okay, I guess everything's fine. And I just like started to drive off. And I was like, what are you doing? That's horrible. And I went around the block. I came back. I wrote a note with my number. And I was like, I am so, so sorry. I did hit your car. I don't see any damage on the car. But if you happen to see anything, like, please call me, whatever, whatever. And I call my friend Mark, who like just like knows about cars for some reason. He was like who I called first. And I was like, oh my God. And he was like, first of all, you didn't need to leave a note because there was no damage. And I think it's fine. And now this person might like say there's a lot of damage and make you pay for something else. And I was like, okay, well, if they do, like, honestly, great. Then they needed me to do that. And I will pay for whatever's wrong with their car, because it would have been more anxiety inducing for me to not leave a note on that car.
Yes.
And feel the guilt of that. And that wasn't the right thing to do. Like, I tapped their car slightly, so I should leave a note. And that's what's happening with that, you know? And I did it, and it wasn't my favorite. And the whole day was like starting to go awry. Like, as soon as I got to the shop, something was weird. I don't even remember now. And I was texting Crystal this, and I was like, what do I do? Like, now the whole day's gone off, you know? And she was like, the problem is here and now, and goes with me no further. And so now I use that. Like, when something not great happens, I can do it in the same way that my magical thinking ass takes something that's like, oh my God, this person texted me, or this person posted about the podcast. And then suddenly I'm like, and then I saw my lucky number, and then I had an amazing lunch. Can you believe it? And then it's sunny out. And then, oh my God, my outfit's great. And then, you know, like, I can do all of these things when like one good thing happens. And I can do the exact same thing when one negative thing happens. Yep. And I'm really just trying to, like, you know, the one way is fine and a little bit like, you know, disillusioned, but like, it's also fine. The other way is like really harmful. So I need to stop it.
I think I relate to that on such a deep level, except I don't spiral up in the way that you do.
I would love that.
I really, every time I hear you talking about that, I was like, I would love if like, I think I'm more of a, I think overall I'm just like a positive person, but I don't get like the high highs or the low lows.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I'm always like, this is good. And that's kind of, and like, even when I'm low, I'm like, things are still okay. But like, I very rarely get the like, oh my God, this.
Yeah.
I did have that on my honeymoon.
Yeah. Well, you know, so, I think that's, it's not great. Like, I think it's probably not, you know, a sustainable solution for me with this. These like high highs and low lows are probably not like, I think it's better to be more even, but you know, the highs are nice. The lows blow.
The lows blow. On that note, should we do our high or highest? I feel like we could continue to talk about this forever, because we all have so many things that we feel guilty about or are associated with shame or are embarrassed by. I mean, I like literally, can I tell one really funny one tie this up? So a friend of mine, we have become friends in probably the past, I don't know, 6 years or so, but like 8 years ago, her older brother, who's like also dating an acquaintance of mine, we were at a party together, and I was with Logan, and they walked in, and I like greeted the acquaintance of mine. And then this guy she was with, who I'd met, you know, they're now married. They were dating at the time. I had met him in the past. So I went to kiss him on the cheek, but he like turned his head slightly. So he kissed on the mouth.
Oh my God.
Months. And so his little sister, who's now like a good friend of mine,
oh my God.
I like saw in San Francisco, like, I don't know, a year after this happened or something. And somebody was like, oh yeah, like, you know, Liza is Ben's sister. And I was like, oh my God. And I told her this story. I was like, oh my God. And she was like, this is amazing. Cause obviously he'd never mentioned it. His wife had never mentioned it. Like it probably didn't register. I mean, it was like a very brief, it's not like we were making out. It was like a, you know, when you go to air kiss somebody. So it was like a very brief, like peck on the side of the mouth, but it was just like, I was like, oh my God. And I still think about it like sometimes. And I don't feel anxious about it, but I just sort of like shiver a little bit and like start to laugh because it's such an absurd. It was so absurd.
Wait. I have quite a few questions, to be honest with you. So during the moment, did you instantly start laughing? Did like his now wife and Logan, like, did you acknowledge it and start laughing?
No, that's why it was so bad. Is I just like,
Oh my God. Didn't acknowledge it
in the moment. And he didn't acknowledge it. And his wife was like standing to the side and talking to Logan. So like, I don't know. I mean, Logan obviously knows the story because I had like immediately afterwards, like, oh my God. And like, we've talked about it many, many times since, but I don't think in the moment anybody noticed. And I think this guy was probably like trying to not make a big deal out of it, because let's be real, it was not a big deal, but I was
right
dead inside.
Oh my God. That's so funny. I think it would have been so different if like Logan and his wife saw it happen.
Yes. And then everybody just stands there uncomfortable.
Yeah. They would have laughed, and then it would have been like, it would have actually been like less anxiety inducing, because it would have been just like, oh my God, that was wild. That's so funny. But I think that's like those anxiety. I mean, you don't feel any guilt about that. Just only embarrassment.
That's just only embarrassment.
Yeah. But I think embarrassment spirals are like way made worse when you don't say it. You know what I mean? Like that spiral I had a couple months ago with that guy when I like pretended I didn't know his band, you know, like that's such a good example of this, where it's like, that wouldn't have been a big deal if I was just like, yeah, I looked up your band. Okay. You know, and like, we laughed, like that would have been fine. It was the fact that I like didn't do it. So, or it's like with embarrassment, like shame and guilt. Okay. This is a good way to like wrap this up before we do our highs. Like the last thing I'll say about it is that, you know, shame and guilt, I think, and embarrassment, when you share it, it dissipates, you know, like Brene Brown has this quote where she says, shame and guilt can't survive once you share it. It dissipates. I think I just said the quote actually. Yeah. Turns out. I was like, is that it? Like, I'm sure it's more articulate than I just said, but essentially it's that. It's like, it can't exist when you share it. You know, it's like anything that we're like trying to hold on to hurts us. And, you know, that's like the concept of let it out, right? Like when you're pushing down a beach ball, the shadow things we don't want anyone to find out about us. Like it takes so much energy that if you just let it out and it comes to the surface, then, you know, people see it and it can be healed and it can change. You can apologize, you can grow and blah, blah, blah. And that's, you know, like Debbie Ford shadow work. Right. And then there's this other thing that my friend Lacey Phillips says, where she says, what you don't own owns you. So like, if you just own it, like it's not going to hurt you anymore. Like she had a lot of shame about not knowing how to spell or something. And she was just like, then I just like said that. And I like got help and like, it's like not a big deal, you know, or whatever it is. Like just owning it can be so liberating. And I think with embarrassment too, it's like just talking about the weird things or like, you know, feeling uncomfortable or whatever. Like I think that is so helpful to a point. You know, and I think to a point is like not sitting in your own shit, not, you know, making it a bigger deal than it has to be. But sometimes like laughter over this stuff.
Mm-hmm. It is the best. It's the best medicine, but also sometimes just calling it. I'm so much better now when something is weird or awkward, like calling it out at the jump. So like if at that moment when we had pecked on the cheek, I was like, wow, that was forward of me.
Yeah, totally.
And then I would probably have never thought about it again.
Yeah.
But I just now, and it does not give me remote anxiety. I just now find it deeply hilarious.
Totally.
But I have so many like similar hug handshake things that like, and Logan will see me when I do an awkward hug handshake thing sometimes. And then I will like visibly like shudder when the person walks away.
I know. I think the hug handshake was like a real start to this podcast for us. You know, that was like something really that we talked about early on. I remember being at Laura's hotel and talking about that when we were like first had the idea for this. I've said we're going to do highs and we really are, but there's just one quick last thing I wanted to say about like being an apologist, to go back to that point of like, yes, there like laughter is the best medicine for sure. And apologizing does feel good when like we are people who want to apologize, to want to make it better. But there are some things that like knowing that you apologize, it has to be genuine and you have to like actually know what you're apologizing for and be specific and acknowledge someone's feelings instead of just automatically taking responsibility for something or overly apologizing. And that we might have talked about this before, but that's like a huge lesson I learned in my last relationship, where like my last like long-term relationship, because I wasn't actually sorry. I was going to do it again, but I would just say I was sorry and I would take responsibility for things without even knowing really what I was apologizing for, just to make it go away or to go back to being like, you know, easy and in love, you know. I'd just be like, I'm so sorry, I'm the worst, you know? And it's like, okay, well, you're invalidating someone's feelings by like not actually like listening and having a conversation. And so I wrote this essay for this old column I used to write called The Girl Who Cried Sorry, and I can link it here. But basically I wrote about like me learning this lesson, which is really, really hard, of like sometimes overly taking responsibility for things. Just, it has to be genuine and you have to acknowledge the other person's feelings and learn and grow, rather than just like being like, okay, sorry, you know, like that also doesn't work. So anyway, just wanted to say that.
No, that is very important to delineate. Yes. I think like, and I think that that can be a very easy trap to fall into, to just like apologize without actually taking real responsibility.
Totally. Because I wasn't sorry. I just wanted to be forgiven.
Totally. I do that sometimes too.
Yeah. All right. Well, higher highs.
Okay.
What have we got?
Honestly, it hasn't been a great week. So let me think. Well, I did. This is like a pathetic high, but it does make a difference. I'm like almost done transferring classes to this new platform since AirSub shut down, which was where I used to teach my old cooking classes. And like, honestly, this new platform, it's not like the classes themselves are going to be any different, but like signing up and all this stuff, it's like way worse. And that makes me mad, but it's been a nightmare of a process and I'm so close to done. And I like got a big chunk of it done earlier this week. So that is a high. Sometimes our highs are not sparkly. They are just literal things that got done and that made me happy. What else? It was Logan's birthday this week.
Happy birthday, Logan.
And honestly, we we're having like his like real celebration this weekend. So it hasn't happened yet, but we went to Peter Luger's for dinner, which is this very like famous steakhouse in Brooklyn with his parents. And like, that was like really nice. And he was so happy. So that was a very good high. And then, wow, I'm really scraping the bottom of the barrel here. I really liked my outfit for Logan's birthday.
You looked amazing.
You know, like sometimes I was like, oh, I forgot I had this dress. And then I was happy with it. So
it looked so good. Yeah,
you guys, I'm sorry. Those were some sad highs, but sometimes it is what it is.
What was the green thing on your plate?
The birthday is a good one. Oh, it was cream spinach.
It looked really good.
It was actually, I usually hate cream spinach because it's too creamy, but theirs is like very lightly creamed. So big fan.
Cool. Okay, my turn. Also a pretty weird week, but I'm sure I've got some. I went to Colorado and visited my friend, and that was just really nice and simple and good to get out of LA for a second. Oh, I have a really good one. I got invited by like a new friend to go get Tuesday nights. They like all meet up at this place in Silver Lake and drink wine and eat snacks. And it was so fun. And I almost didn't go. And then I was like, I'm going to be so late, but I came anyway. And it was great. And I'm really, really happy I went. And that was really incredible. And something really bummer, scary, actually, I'll tell you later, happened to my building. But silver lining of that was like, I got to talk and hang out with my neighbor, and that was really cool. And she like took in a box for me while I was out of town, and like that was so nice. And it was just like, it really touched me. And yeah, and I like, again, like in a tough week, these little things, I think in a tough week, these tiny highs that like in a week where you have so many highs make such a difference, you know?
Totally. Could not agree more.
Shall we disclaim?
We shall. Are we therapists, Katie?
We are not. We are not doctors of any kind. We are just two friends talking about our anxiety, hoping to feel less alone and maybe make you feel less alone.
You guys, we're going so off book with the disclaimer, Lily. If you're struggling with your mental health, we strongly encourage talking to a professional.
We love therapy.
We do.
We really, really do.
And remember, if you're spiraling, you are not alone. You are not weird or damaged or crazy. And you don't owe anyone an explanation for your mental health. And we love you.
Bye.
Bye.